The Brethren of Chaos podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the next episode. Another episode of the Brethren of Chaos podcast.
I don't know what number we're on.
No, I haven't got a clue. It's all kind of fallen, and I think because we start playing footy again, and I've started seeing you again on Mondays.
Yeah.
So it's almost twice a week. Like, I feel like we did an episode already this week.
It does feel a bit like that.
Yeah. Like, that one that we did with Connor, the last episode, feels like just, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah, instantly.
Yeah. But it's been gone, and I've listened to it already.
Polished it off.
While we're talking about Connor, guys, we just cannot thank him enough for this. So Connor,
it's epic.
Connor obviously had his hat trick episode last week.
His trilogy.
And he messaged me in the week and said, I bought you a present for my, he rang me actually.
He rang you?
Yeah.
Out of the blue is this?
Out of the blue. He said, what are you doing? And I said, no, I was just lying in bed. And he went, I've got you a present for my hat trick, for my third episode. And I was like, what? It didn't even come into my mind. And then I was like, oh, that's so good. I said, are you coming to drop it off now? And he went, no. I'm going to give it to you just before you do the next episode and you've got to open it on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
So we should have recorded it now. But no. So just before, and you'll see on the socials, if we filmed it, Steve's opened it.
Yeah.
And if you listen to last episode, you'll know that Connor was saying, we need a globe in the pod studio. So that
we need a geographical apparatus.
Yeah, to really fact check all the shit we're chatting. So Connor has very kindly bought us a really nice looking globe. A
handsome looking globe.
Yeah, it suits, and hopefully we won't get much wrong.
No way.
Ever again.
We're going to know where every country is. Yeah.
I feel like you're going to hear a lot of fumbling for the... Where's the globe?
Yeah, the globe. Spinning it.
Yeah. Just looking for it. So thank you again, Connor.
Perfect present.
Unbelievable. And any other guests who come on, it's like there's standards now.
Oh, they're definitely very high standards.
There are high standards because we need some more presents for this. We could build this room into a decent looking,
like a cave,
get some
of
stuff up, yeah.
Relics.
Yeah. Eventually it'll stop being like a mechanic's store cupboard.
A garage.
Yeah, and become a genuine podcast. We'll just take over all the shelves.
A research vessel.
Yeah. Guys, again, a little bit of pod, a bit of a pod bookkeeping, pod housekeeping.
Yeah.
Go and follow us. Get our name out there. Share the podcasts. Share the clips.
Get some stickers from us.
Yeah. Ask for stickers. We'll give them out.
I've been putting them everywhere.
Yeah, well, I've got a good story about that in a minute.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, just interact with us. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on. We want to know what you think about our podcast. Rate the podcasts wherever you're listening.
Fact check us.
Yeah,
did you say that before?
Well, no. Definitely fact check us.
Yeah.
Because we were talking just before how we need to do an episode just debunking all of our lies.
All the stuff we just drop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So, as you said, Steve, you've been sticking anywhere interesting? You stuck a sticker?
Yeah, well, I went to a Mayhem gig.
Yeah.
The black Norwegian black metal. We'll do an episode on that.
Yeah.
Murders, suicides. They're not posers. This metal scene was not a posing scene. Everybody's dead.
Where was this?
It was in Manchester in the Academy too.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, so it was a night out in Manchester.
Yeah, so you took some stickers.
Pocket full of stickers. See, bam, bam, bang, just everywhere.
I always take a couple of stickers out with me.
Yeah.
And I can genuinely, honestly say I've not stuck. I went to fucking a different country with stickers and forgot to stick them.
You're coming back with more stickers.
Exactly, yeah. Yes, that's where you want.
Yeah.
You go to some nice bars.
I went to a few metal bars, so there'll be a few goths
that's
tuning
where you
in,
want them.
I presume.
That's where you want our stickers. That's going to instantly tweak some interest as well, seeing a fucking baseball bat with nails in it, Brethren of Chaos podcast.
What the fuck's this? Yeah. What are these chatting about?
Yeah, someone's gonna look for us. My story is...
Go on, yeah.
So, and I've got a video of this. Me and Connor were... We're on our way back from the podcast last week.
Yeah.
and we were stopped at the traffic lights, and you know, like those like luminous bollards.
Oh yeah.
In the middle of like the road.
Oh, like the white box
things.
Yeah,
yeah. Connor's run over, got out of the driver's side at the red traffic light.
Yeah.
Run over and stuck a sticker on it.
Wait, whereabouts is this?
On Windle Island.
On the Windle Island?
Yeah, I'm going to go past on my way home.
No way. What the fuck? There. So everybody who's pulling up at those red lights
is going, what is that little... Is that... What's that? Brethren of Chaos?
Podcast? Yeah. What the... Now that... What the fuck? That's ridiculous.
That's some serious advertising.
That's proper good, that. So yeah. Connor's been... He's given us globes and fucking jumping out at red lights.
Yeah.
Sticking...
He loves the pod.
Fucking hell, Connor.
Yeah. And he said that. He said, I listened to last week's, and to hear Connor say it, he just loves being in this little room with his headphones on. It's class.
Well, he'll definitely be back. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a famous guest. Gets some good listens as well.
Oh, yeah.
He does. Right. Anything? How have you been, Steve? Since we played footy again. That was a bit. I mean, from the. I think the standard last week was too high.
And it couldn't be maintained.
No.
Well, for my team, it could have.
Yeah, you were all right, yeah. But
we didn't have any problems.
I don't know what happened to me. I just couldn't run.
Yeah, I think you just felt a bit slow.
Yeah,
bit.
I felt slow. I felt
you
heavy.
Felt like, you, yeah, you did just you? weren't turned on.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it was... I genuinely think last week's, I was that excited, that revved up to play footy. It just fucking exploded.
Yeah, you blasted it.
Yeah.
You went over.
With this week.
Went over the edge.
And I ran further, like on my watch, I ran further this week than I did last week. Which doesn't make much sense, but I was running the channels like Antonio.
Flying down. I think, what I was saying though, I think our team played quite good. I think we caught on. Like all our shots were going in.
A couple of big performances.
Yeah.
You were getting bounces. You were just...
So if you were off the game a bit.
Yeah.
I think naturally.
We didn't have a chance to settle.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I think that was it.
Yeah. Typical. Absolutely typical. What did you do anything on the weekend? You went to see a Kiss tribute band as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. On the Friday. So the Matt who I play, and we'll have him on the podcast. Yeah. His dad's just joined a Kiss tribute.
Joined
band. Yeah,
the Kiss tribute.
Because he plays drums, but it's not. They don't dress up with anything or anything like that. But
no Star Child.
None of that stuff. I wish though, but that was quite surreal actually. Like it was in a proper like rock pub. You know, like type pubs where like everybody in the owns a Harley Davidson. It's like that type of
like
vibe.
A biker bar.
Yeah, literally. And it was in like Earlstown or something. How the fuck am I never heard of this place? And just listened to Kiss.
Yeah.
Like solid classic
was it
rock.
Good, yeah.
Oh yeah. It was just solid rock for 2 hours.
I like a tribute band sometimes. You know, more than someone who's just gonna play a variety of songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about like a tribute band, isn't there?
Where you just home in on just the catalogue of fucking Kiss.
I went to watch an ABBA tribute band once and they
now that.
All looked like ABBA as well. It was like...
See, ABBA are like peak level music.
Yeah.
All bands you can go and watch to cover.
It's perfect, isn't it? That's just what you want.
That's what you want.
Just what you're looking for. Anything else? Have you done any sprinting?
No, I was
going
to go...
What's going on, Steve? Because you didn't last week, did you?
I did, yeah. Oh, no, did I?
No.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did you?
Rimton Pike.
Oh, you did it on the midweek one, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. 17K, 16K.
Decent.
This week.
How was that, Rimton Pike? Because I think I've walked Rimton
Pike. Yeah, it's all right. I went up from the car park bit, sprinted right up, then you get to the top of that
Shares
tower.
Off.
I did at one point, yeah. After I got to the tower, I went on like the... It's like the moors at the back, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just go fucking miles.
Was it warm as well?
Oh, yeah. And there's nobody around. Just took my t-shirt off, sprinting around.
Yeah.
But I was trying to do 20K.
Do you just track it?
Yeah. But I don't look. I don't follow a route or time it or anything.
You're just trying to get to the number.
Yeah. And I don't even look at the number until towards the end.
Could you not just run in circles?
Well, I could, yeah.
But you don't...
But I don't, I'm not bothered, really. I'm not bothered about any numbers. I'm just running.
Yeah.
But I tried to do 20K.
It's like me in the podcast, that. Not bothered about any numbers.
Yeah. Not bothered about facts.
Just talking. Yeah. Don't care about the data.
No, it doesn't matter. But yeah, they only did 16K. What the problem is, what I've realised in many of these runs, is you hit a point around 16K, because I keep doing 16K runs.
Yeah.
Any further, and you're going too far out of like the vicinity.
You're not just run back?
I could do, but It's just a straight line then, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just running for a bit and then running back.
16K out and a 16K back.
Now that would be ridiculous. But I might go tomorrow. I was going to go to the lakes tomorrow.
Yeah.
And sleep over.
Nice.
Or...
Could take your little tent.
Well, I'm going to sleep in my car.
Oh.
Fully kitted up. Well, I'm stuck between deciding tomorrow morning, do I drive down to Paris?
Oh, shit.
Or do I just drive to the lakes?
Oh, that is a tough decision.
What do I do, Cal?
I don't know. Because you'd have to set off tomorrow morning, yeah? You would in your little car.
Yeah. Going 50 down the motorway. All the way to Paris.
Paris. Should have set off last week.
I know, yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm taking Joe to the airport on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Joe's dad. I'm obviously not going.
No, you don't fancy it, do you?
No. No, not for me, that really.
Not with a Madrid top on?
No. No.
Madrid Ultras.
I was to Paris all the way for that. No. No, I think the lakes is nice though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I want
on my own.
Yeah.
Just relaxing.
Just chill out completely.
Run around and just sit in the car. Just draw.
No, you've got to take your tent.
Yeah.
To be out there.
But it's easy. But then with a tent though, you either have to pay, not pay, but you have to find a tent camping place, or you have to go and find a wild camping bit, don't you?
Yeah, that's what you do.
It's better just pulling up.
Are you largely, you're not largely sleeping in your car, are you, in this country?
I think so. I think you can in the lake. There's loads of places. I've got the best. You know what? I'll take you.
Yeah.
I'll take you to this place I found.
I'm not sleeping in your car.
You have to. we'll tow your car.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that sounds like a good idea. I think I'd rather go to the lakes than Paris.
Than watch Liverpool.
I'm not a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
Whereas you are. Yeah. What am I doing? I didn't do anything this weekend. I went to the Everton game last Thursday.
Oh, I heard. A few people have told me to pull you up on that, Carl.
Why?
On the podcast.
What have I done?
Well, it's not me saying it, but some people are questioning whether you should be celebrating.
What? No.
Getting, what, really getting
staying a lot, staying in the Premier League. Why shouldn't you? It's not like, why shouldn't I celebrate staying in the Premier League? What should I do?
Yeah, you got a point there.
Because it's not like we've been close to winning the league.
Yeah,
I think staying in the Premier League for us.
I think the way it's happened.
Who said that to you?
Tell me,
give me some names.
I think you can guess.
Yeah.
But no, I think the way it's happened, I think, obviously, at home as well, that game.
It was genuinely
I bet you that must have felt like...
Honestly.
Powerful.
When that full-time was probably the best feeling of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Probably.
Wait, what did you do? So you're there?
So we... I was
there. Where you stood?
With Josh.
Yeah.
We're in the... main stand.
Yeah.
So it's the one of the long stands, second balcony up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not pitch side.
Yeah.
So me and Josh, and we're at the very back row.
Oh, yes.
So we watch it, and then as it's come, so obviously 2-0 down at half time, me and Josh are down at in the concourse with a couple of beers, like, it's fucking done.
It's, yeah, it's, game over.
We can't be Arsenal on the last day. We're fucked. And then... Obviously, we come out second half. The goal's going. It's fucking going. My glasses got elbowed off my face.
Got smashed. Me glasses. Gone.
Some fella came up to me at the end like, "Are these yours, mate?" Oh my god, yeah.
What is it? Just the frame?
No,
a crumpled frame.
You were perfect.
Yeah.
That's the kind of day it was. That's the kind of day it was for me. Steve.
Wow.
So then, as it's going, we're like, "Oh, should we go?"
Yeah.
And it's like fucking too right. The third goal had already gone in. People had already been on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know for a fact everyone's getting there. So then we've had to like jump down, like from one stand. Like,
yeah.
It's not, we can't go down any steps because all the stewards are stopping you.
Oh, I get it.
Because they don't want anyone on the.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So we've had to jump down into like hospitality seats, get through all them.
What?
Jump down into it's the disabled box area where all the wheelchairs.
What? So you and Josh are fucking scrambling over all these chairs.
Yeah. And then Josh gets grabbed by a steward.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Fucking get off." Running down, and then we look down, and there's this drop, and it's like, we can't jump down there, Josh.
No.
That's too far. And some fella then goes to us, "Go down those steps, there."
What?
So we run through a doorway, down a couple of staircases, and then as we come out...
The pitch is there.
The pitch is there.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
We run onto the pitch. It's fucking, the videos are class.
Yeah.
I know, it's like... And I don't care, really.
I think the fact that you came back like that...
Yeah.
And it wasn't like you just come back just for 3 points. You come back to secure.
Exactly. A comeback like that would deserve, maybe not those celebrations, but would deserve a certain amount of celebration anyway.
I think it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to show you the videos after the pod.
Yeah.
And you're gonna feel differently about that.
See, like, initially when I seen it, I was annoyed.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
What? But now, the more I think about it and the game.
Exactly.
2-0 down. And it's just... you wrote off, aren't you?
Yeah, dead and buried.
And this is just secure.
Yeah,
it's not
safety.
It's not just a normal game.
Yeah.
Yo, you've won that. This is safety.
And you've got to think, for all those Everton fans, this season's been, like, fucking
the
tired.
Worst. Yeah.
Rafa Benitez was in charge. We were a sinking ship.
Yeah.
All the pundits are going, I think Everton are going to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think Leeds and Burnley have got more.
That's all you've been getting fed.
That's all I'm getting for fucking a full season. And then goes down to the second to last game. And then I obviously last day of the season, I didn't even know what score.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Never doesn't matter, doesn't it?
Yeah. That felt so good to not even be bothered about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my... And then on the weekend, I didn't do anything.
You just recovered from that?
Just chilled out, yeah. Watched the footy on. I got my auntie and uncle over from Australia.
Yeah.
So spend time with them and...
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, it's been nice.
Solid.
And then back to work, another week.
Another game of footy.
Yeah, another game of footy. Another podcast.
Back in the groove.
Bring on the weekend.
Yes.
Right, Steve. Anything else you want to address the fans with?
I don't think so. Nothing off the top of my head.
What about the news that I've just seen about Sadio Mane saying he will not talk about his future with Liverpool until after the Champions League final?
Yeah. All right, yeah. I don't know.
Because Salah said he'll stay next year.
Yeah, Salah said. I feel like Diaz is...
He won't sign that contract, like, but...
No. Diaz can play where Mane was playing.
Yeah.
And just slot right in.
I think that's probably why Mane's saying that.
Yeah.
He's maybe thinking they're in a good spot. I don't think... I know Diaz is good. He's lively and stuff. And he's a bit of a terrier and never stops running, but...
Yeah.
He's not Mane.
Doesn't have this, like, this presence that Mane has.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Diaz needs to play for a season, I think.
Yeah.
Get fully into it.
Get a bit of like that Premier League strength that players get and find his eye. Because I saw a couple of times, he was forcing things against Wolves a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I genuinely think he's a really, really good player.
Yeah.
But,
No, yeah. I know what you mean. I think you just...
He'll settle in.
He
shouldn't have any worries, like, but... I settle in. He's already settled in. But, yeah, also... This is another part, my favourite part of the season, and we'll get updates on this. I fucking love the transfer window.
That's where you're
and the
following.
Free agents are already moving around. News is breaking.
Have you seen Suarez?
Yeah.
To Aston Villa. Imagine that.
Villa
Suarez
just signed.
And Coutinho?
He won't go there.
Do you not reckon?
I don't even think he's probably a bit too old for it now.
He probably doesn't even know, like you fucking Gerrard was.
Yeah, exactly.
He just came in, just fucking caused trouble when he's there. Just fucking...
Yeah, just in a fury, and then he got off.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Villa made, because they signed Kamara from Marseille as well.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking good signing there. So watch out for them next year. I think, I think the summer's going to be interesting. Very interesting.
You're going to be glued to the news?
A little bit, yeah. Check every day, and I'll keep the podcast fans updated.
I'll ask you one question then. Yeah. Who do you think is going to be biggest signing to who were?
In the summer?
Yeah.
I think Haaland to City.
To City?
Yeah.
You're going with that?
Already done, yeah. I don't think anyone else moved. I think if Liverpool could have got Jude Bellingham from Dortmund, then maybe.
That would have been a good one.
That would have been fucking massive. But he's already said he's staying.
I think Haaland got De Bruyne behind him, feeding him like that.
It's just stupid.
Bernardo Silva milling around.
Well, Bernardo Silva might leave.
Oh, is he?
Gundogan might go. This is all the rumours.
Yeah.
And Fernandinho's going. Okay. So they've got
got a
new midfield as well anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I think that's a good one, that, yeah.
Yeah, bring on the transfer window, I say.
Here we go.
Right. Should I set our new globe to...
To where we're basing ourselves.
Yeah, where we're basing ourselves. So I don't know whether you can see that. Well... This is tough because we're up at ends of the table.
Mm.
Like, this is perfect for me. I think I need it more than you.
Yeah, yeah. Face it your way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm looking here at a quite a large country, the capital of Berlin.
Berlin.
Mm. Steve, I'm a Carl Pilkinson today, and I haven't been for a while. and I'm very, very much looking forward to it. Guys, today, you introduced it, Steve, because you had the little title for it, didn't you?
Oh yeah. What did I say?
I can't remember.
Oh fuck!
Wait,
go. It was so basically, it was Cal said to do the Nazi generals, all the mad Nazi generals.
We wanted to like just squeak like, because I know you already know so much about this, already read loads of books about it.
Yeah. Oh, I need to put a disclaimer in, to be honest.
What
about that? Like, because it could, and it has done before, come across like I'm a Nazi sympathiser.
No.
Honestly.
It always comes across like we're Nazi sympathisers. Because we sit there and we think about it and go,
well. I think it's just a fascination with World War II.
Yeah.
And history.
But we never talk, because the Nazi bit's the interesting bit anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
And we talked about the British at the end of the last episode. Doing the iceberg thing, maybe.
Yeah, that's that.
We had a little bit from us.
A bit of weirdness.
Yeah. I can't find it.
It was Nazi generals, but when I was looking into it, I was thinking about... No, it was Hitler's circle. Hitler's inner circle.
Hitler's inner circle. We talk about so much... Sorry, listeners. This is some bad podcasting, this. I'm looking through the minus these text messages, and it's just absolute... Just as much shit as we do on the podcast.
We should just release the text.
Yeah.
I think it was Hitler's Inner Circle of Chaos.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's Hitler's Inner Circle. Circle of Chaos, yeah.
I think that's that suits it well, because he did have a circle of chaos.
Yeah. Have we spoken about a couple of these already?
I think we've mentioned them. We've mentioned them, yeah. I think everybody knows them to an extent.
Hmm.
But...
I'm excited. I feel like I should take notes.
Yeah.
I know I should put the pod pad.
Do some note taking. Yeah, so I'll start with his... I'll avoid Hitler, basically, for this podcast.
Yeah.
He'll just be the centre.
He's the link man.
He's the link man of everybody, of the chaos.
Yeah.
But he's... So, the war.
Yeah.
You know when it started, didn't you?
1936. Is that when it finished?
No.
When did it finish? 1938?
No.
1942?
It's not... Now you're close, but you've gone too far. It started...
Where am I getting these dates from?
You've said basically every date in like a decade period.
Yeah. I'm going for the scatter approach.
So it was 1st September 1939.
Oh, of course it was.
And it ended on...
I don't know.
2nd of September.
Yeah.
1939. No, 2nd of September 1945.
Okay. I was close.
Yeah, you're in the same ballpark. Well,
that's what the scatter approach does.
Yeah.
Just get you close.
So that was the war, World War II. But the Nazi Party, when did that start? To be honest, even I was like, what, really? It was 1920.
Was it?
Or 1921, 20, something around then.
Yeah.
That's I didn't know. Well, I knew, but like, you don't think of the Nazis then, don't you?
So it's only like 19 years of...
Yeah, before they even
Before it even became... Well, then they got into power.
Well, they got into power, I think it was 1931 or 1930.
Okay.
But even then it was like...
Interesting. See, I didn't know.
They had a full decade. The Nazis had a full decade nearly.
Yeah.
Of running Germany. Doing all the mad shit. A lot of the mad shit was before the war.
Was it?
And then, bang.
So they were doing all that before it even kicked off?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
It wasn't like
Is this common knowledge?
I don't know. To an extent, maybe.
Yeah, because for me, I feel like, in my mind, the mind of an idiot right now, I picture like the Nazi Party get into power and immediately start the World War.
Yeah.
And then the World War goes on and we win and then they go away.
And they just gone.
Yeah.
Well.
But it's not. They had time to build.
A lot of madness going on.
Yeah.
So but
they also did good things though.
This is the part where we've got to be careful.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Oh. I'm already ruined it.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that you could... So if you were a Nazi sympathiser,
yeah,
could take on, couldn't you?
Yeah, but not even if you were what did they introduce anything like we've spoken about before in other podcasts where these crazy like dictators and stuff actually introduced like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, oh, I think they had loads. They had to buy loads.
Yeah.
So if we look at it, let's look at it, some stuff that happened.
Yeah.
Outside and just don't... And look at it just from stuff that's happening. It could have been 200 years ago. It could have been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So they banned smoking.
Yeah, that... I mean...
If somebody did that now, you know, people are going, a lot of health benefits there.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The banned building on Greenland.
Yeah, that's...
They wanted to build on, like, already used sites.
Yeah.
They didn't want to, like, build in the countryside. That's so
not, yeah, that's... I mean, I'm not arguing.
Yeah. They stopped the hunting of a lot of animals, and they set up very good preservation
yeah.
of animals, animal welfare.
See, again.
Apart from, I'll get to a point, there was...
Jewish people.
Yeah, well, there was that, yeah. what else? There's... Oh, they created a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Like, very good for the economy. They basically sort of like the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Created loads of jobs.
I've got no issues.
Stable economy.
Yeah. It's but that's like... I don't know. If I was making you a cup of tea...
Yeah.
...and I put a teaspoon of sugar in, that's quite nice, that, innit?
Yeah.
But then if I followed that up with, like, a full 2-litre bottle full of salt and poured, like, fucking 500 grams of salt in because of the cup of tea...
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Cup of tea wouldn't be too nice.
No way. I'm not going to be drinking that cup of tea, Anna.
No, no.
Not at all.
It'd be salty.
I think you've summed that up perfectly.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they have done some nice things, or...
I suppose...
That's quite forward-thinking, quite progressive.
They were very good with, healthcare.
Yeah.
And hospitals. And very compared to a lot of other countries in Europe.
Mm, like at the time,
if you were in Germany, you're going to get good healthcare, nice. And you're going to survive a lot of stuff that you probably wouldn't survive in France or Spain.
Too right.
But yeah, like you said, poured a load of salt in the cup of tea.
Yeah, ruined it all. And now we don't remember them for all the banning smoking and stuff like that. But what was like so? And then you got to think, if someone was caught smoking, what's the punishment?
Yeah. Probably a heavy fine.
Yeah.
It's like, is that worth it?
Well, straight brutality.
Yeah.
Gestapo right through your front door.
Family took away.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start off.
Yeah, right. Take us right in, Steve.
Who do you want? Do you want Heinrich Himmler or Hermann Göring first?
Two great names, by the way.
Two very, very powerful names.
Yeah. Give me some Himmler.
Okay.
Give me some Himmler.
So Himmler, I think, was probably the craziest of them all.
You want to save Himmler for after Göring?
No, I think we should. I think maybe we should go into Himmler.
Start with some insanity.
So Himmler, everybody knows Himmler. The short guy, glasses,
the guy
balding head.
Who was not the perfect Aryan race.
He was the complete opposite to what he implemented for his SS in every way possible.
Yeah. Living a dream. Living in a dreamland.
So this guy, Himmler, he was like the architect of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And the SS.
Not great things to put on your CV.
No, you don't really want, you don't want that going on.
Unless you're looking for a job.
In a dictatorship.
Within the Nazi party.
Yeah, he's going places. So he was born 1900 in Munich. And he joined the Nazi party in 1923. So that's like when we're talking about the early times.
Yeah, he's right at
the start, fucking turning up.
Yeah.
I think, and he joined, so the Nazi party had this this other side of it called the SA, which were like, it was like the army, it was like the party's personal army.
Okay.
And they were basically all thugs. It wasn't like run properly. And he joined that.
Just like bodyguards.
Yeah, like, and they did all like the I don't even know why you'd need an army for a political party.
Because they knew they were about to do some fishy stuff, probably.
Yeah, they were preparing.
Yeah.
But, so Himmler joined this Nazi party, and he was part of that SA side, and he was against Hitler at first, because there was a lot of internal struggles. And right up until the 30s, this guy called Ernst Röhm, I don't think I've got any notes of him. I'm not even following any notes.
No, you know it all, it's all in that, on your head.
So this guy, Ernst Röhm, oh, he's fucking... dodgy guy as well. Yeah. You don't need to get a picture up, but the viewers, I mean the listeners, want to look at him. He looks like a bad guy. You don't want to cross him in the street. No. Face full of scars.
Is he?
Built like a brick shit house.
Fuck.
But he...
I'm going to have to look at a picture while you're talking.
You're going to have to... So, so he was like one of the oppositions to Hitler within this party throughout the 20s up to the 30s. And we'll get to later on onto him. He was famous incident called the Night of the Long Knives.
Yeah.
He was involved in that. But...
he's fucked him.
He looks like a dodgy guy.
He does look pretty scary, yeah.
He's up to no good.
Yeah. The things that came up, listeners, with when I put Ernst Röhm were Ernst Röhm homosexual.
Oh.
But that's for another podcast.
Indeed. Yeah, I wonder what all that is. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of conspiracies, isn't there, about, you know, all dressing up in leather.
Yeah.
All look like they're out of Judas Priest.
Exactly.
Or did Judas Priest look like they were out of the Nazi party?
Oh, don't start that, Steve.
Yeah, so... and then... So Himmler was initially against Hitler, and Hitler went to... you know, when Hitler went to prison, they had the Beer Hall Putsch, it was called.
Yeah.
Which was like a mini coup in Bavaria in the 20s. And Hitler went to prison for a bit because he was the leader of the Nazi party at the time. And when he was in prison, a lot of other people, I think that Ernst Röhm and everybody came up and were like, right, we're taking over this Nazi party. And that's where Himmler joined in. That was when Hitler was in prison, that's when he wrote Mein Kampf.
Was it, yeah?
He was in prison.
Fuck.
And we'll get to...
How long was he in prison for?
I think it was like a year or something like that, I think. I think a few people died in it. It was basically like a little coup. They stormed like some government places.
Oh, I've heard this, yeah.
And they basically got shot.
Fuck me.
And then Hitler got arrested for it.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that again. There's somebody else we'll get to who's on about Hitler in prison. Yeah. There's a funny
Forget
story
Hitler.
About that.
Forget all the Hitler stories.
Then Hitler gets released.
Yeah.
Assumes full control. Himmler's like, this guy's actually the real deal.
Yeah.
I'm fucking backing you all the way.
Because he's gone, like, he's come out of prison and been like...
He's got Mein Kampf.
Step aside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, have you read Mein Kampf?
I haven't read it. It's hard to find.
Is it?
It's hard to find. Not that I've looked. Just from what I've been told.
Oh, I mean... Yeah, it probably is hard to find.
I think it's hard to find, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
You're not coming across that in, like, the charity shop?
Yeah, no. I mean...
Well, I did come across Rommel's papers in the charity shop.
Well, I used to go to... there's a bookshop in Ormskirk when I was in uni.
Yeah.
Just pick up a few little...
Wait, the bookshop?
Yeah. And it's got, all old people's books that they've just given in and written on the inside cover is, like, 30p and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just pick up some random books, just some light reading.
Yeah.
And I definitely saw some suspect historical.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Texts.
What do you mean? Like,
definitely stuff like telling some stories about the Nazis and stuff, just historical books. Wow. I mean, there's probably loads, but I didn't see no Mein Kampf.
You know,
don't get too excited.
Yeah, there's a famous book, I might as well mention now, called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I think that's banned. That's
why did they ban them?
I don't know. I think, well, this book was written well before the Nazi party, and it's where, like, so basically, like, before the Nazi party, there was the Thule society. And I think they got a lot of their ideology from this protocol of Elders of Zion. Mm. And it's supposedly really, like, solid, not facts, because I think it's been debunked, but it's really, like, if you read it, you're like,
you believe
oh,
it.
Shit, this is, like, speaking sense. But it's basically about saying how the Jews, like, you know, run the world and run the banks and everything.
Oh,
can
like
say
a big
it.
Conspiracy thing.
Yeah,
oh,
like, full against the Jewish people and how... All the problems in society...
Because they lead back to the Jewish people.
All go back to it. That's one book that year.
Fucking hell.
That's but all the Nazis read that, and that's where they got loads of their ideology from.
Yeah, they were tricked.
Yeah.
Who wrote that? Didn't?
I can't remember. I think it was in the 1800s.
Hmm.
Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It's definitely banned. But I think it's, like, being debunked. You know, now, like, historians have looked at it and said, like, oh, this isn't actually true.
Yeah.
The facts are, like... Well, they probably all are distorted, aren't they, when you look at, like, fucking that type of
100%.
They're not like just putting spreadsheets up of pure data. Huh?
No. Yeah. They're not backing anything up, are they? It's solid. Yeah. Solid info.
So Himmler, Hitler gets out. Himmler's like, right, I'm following you. He set up the SS in 1930.
Yeah.
As like a side group of this SA.
Which Himmler did,
yeah. Wanted it to be like a bit of a... not an army, but like a group of people who could operate on their own and do their own things.
Ah, like a police.
Yeah, a bit like that. Mm. And Hitler was like, oh, that's a good idea. And they had like... So in 1933, 52,000 people applied for the SS.
Bloody hell.
So that's a good number, that.
Yeah.
Imagine that in like Berlin in
Why?
The city. I think it was just like the elite of the army.
Yeah.
It's basically like joining like the Marines or something.
Yeah, joining the SAS.
Yeah. The... Just add an A.
Yeah.
So Himmler's main dude was Reinhard Heydrich.
Yeah.
This guy, if you Google him, if people look at him, he is the pinnacle of a Nazi.
Is
with that name as well. Reinhard Heydrich.
Walking.
And he was
I feel like I've heard of him before. I heard that name.
He got assassinated him. So Reinhard Heydrich, I haven't got any notes on this bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go off my head. But Reinhard Heydrich was part of the Einsatzgruppen,
yeah,
which was like a mobile death squad. When this is like well ahead.
Later.
It was like before they started setting up the proper prison camps, you know, for killing people.
Sorry, mobile death squad.
That's what it's called. This guy was travelling around like fucking Poland and, you know, the Eastern Front.
Yeah.
And he was doing all the killings in the villages.
Oh my God.
That was him. But it was all through the SS under Himmler. The Einsatzgruppen. That's how heavy is that a mobile death squad? He got assassinated. I think it was by British intelligence people. It linked back to them. They like blew up his car and shot him.
Yeah.
In like a town somewhere in like, I don't know, Austria or one of them.
Maybe he was doing some death squadding.
Yeah. And they found out that the people who assassinated him was like, were helped by a few people in this town. And the Nazis were like that pissed off. Actually, have I wrote it down? I don't think I have. They were that pissed off. They just leveled the village.
They flattened it?
Yeah, they just killed everybody. Fucking slaughtered them all and just leveled it.
What the fuck? Oh my God.
This is like in the middle of a war as well. They're just going out of the way. Just like.
So he was pretty big.
Yeah, Reinhard Heydrich was pretty big. He was Himmler's like fucking...
his left-hand man.
Yeah. Doing all his fucking... the solid...
leading the SS.
Yeah.
So Himmler had created this faction...
his elite faction.
That could work on their own.
Yeah.
And he had his number one man there.
Reinhard
Heydrich.
Who looked like the pinnacle of a Nazi.
He is the
Nazi.
I'm going to get a little picture.
Are you going to get... Yeah.
I need to visualise this because it's getting... what's his name? Reinhard.
So it's...
I've already Googled him.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is a Nazi. Jesus Christ.
Can you picture him in like fucking Hugo Boss?
Yeah, definitely. Oh my God.
So he was Himmler's fucking little boy. So Himmler also, as well as the SS, he ran a load of different stuff like the race and settlement main office for like the SS. And it was like implementing racial policies and racial integrity and all that within the SS.
Yeah.
He basically said like, if you're in the SS, you have to... It was like him, an SS person and the wife both have to prove their lineage back to 1800 that they were Aryan before they could get married. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I suppose it wasn't that far if you think. It's only just over 100 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's still like...
anything could happen in that time though.
Yeah.
It'd be 100% Aryan to join the SS, you and your wife.
Well, that's to marry.
Oh.
That's to... if you wanted to marry somebody, you have to go to this office.
Yeah.
With this girl that you want to marry,
but
provide the papers.
But you had to prove that you were complete, like.
Honest. And if not, they're like,
no, can't be married.
No,
even if like, so one of even if one of them was 100% Aryan,
yeah, and the other wasn't, because they just wanted their offspring, to be pure Aryan.
And did all the people in the SS have to be?
They had to do that, but then they said they got found. A lot of people got found out by doing the marriage things as well. You know, like they got into the SS. Passed all the tests earlier.
And then when they went to get married...
And like, showed the lineage and got caught out. It's like, you're gone. You're not part of the SS.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so Himmler was doing all that sort of shit. And in 1933, he set up Dachau.
Yeah.
So 1933, what's that? 6 years before, even before the war.
Yeah.
Dachau was set up.
Ready to go.
But it wasn't...
What was it? Yeah.
It was more of like a prison. You know, like where the prisoners would work.
Yeah.
It wasn't like concentration camp. But he set that up. And that's like... I didn't know it was that early. It's 1933.
Dachau was a big one as well, wasn't it?
Been around for a long time.
Fucking hell.
I don't know. Like... They obviously got the... I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. How many people died in the war. Then go back 6 years. Yeah. All the people coming in and out.
It was just...
A lot of faces in there.
Yeah, just the normal... Just a normal prison.
Yeah.
Well, it can't have been that normal, like, but...
Political prisoners and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was 1933. 1934, Himmler gained control of the Gestapo.
Yeah.
From Rudolf Diels. Now, the Gestapo was created by Göring, which we'll get to in the other side. He created that.
Yeah.
But he
so had... what's the difference between the Gestapo and the SS?
So the SS is like very... I think that was... The SS were covering a lot of different stuff, you know, like killings and like...
So you've got the Nazi Party. Yeah. You've already got the SA.
I think by this time the SA was disbanded.
Yeah. So they just had the SS underneath them.
Yeah.
As well as... The
normal
army.
Yeah.
And now the Gestapo.
They had the Gestapo, which was...
It were like the evil police.
I think it was basically, yeah. It was like the elite force of the police.
Yeah.
So the what they could do would just be like police matters stuff.
Mm.
You know, within the cities and within the districts. I don't think they were doing political stuff and, you know, all that shit.
So the SS are dealing with almost like the beginning of the war, like war
stuff.
Yeah,
and... Policies.
More with the army.
Yeah, doing all that
shit. The Gestapo were on the streets dealing with all the German people.
Beating up people for smoking.
Yeah.
Fucking wiretapping everybody's houses.
Like fucking prefects.
Yeah. And this Gestapo had like free reign to do anything within like, obviously, police. Well, not even reason. Like, I think they could just fucking beat up anybody.
Yeah. Just kill people.
I think probably, yeah.
So what were the police doing? So the...
I don't even know. Imagine being a policeman. You're like having your little quiet life in like some German village.
Yeah.
And then like a Gestapo unit turn up. Right, we're in control.
We're in charge now, yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
Oh, fucking hell. Because you don't hear anything about like the German... So that is what it was. So the Gestapo did kind of, like they controlled the German people, didn't they? Really?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But they, I suppose it's just a tighter grip on the fucking society, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, definitely.
On a smaller scale. Yeah. In the towns and the villages and
getting
stuff.
Right in there. It's probably the right way to do it.
It probably is, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be arguing with them.
So, yeah, they were ruthless, and Himmler gained control of that. And by this time, mid-30s, Himmler developed the SS into a full military branch now, and it had their own, like, army called, what is it, the Waffen-SS. So, and they were, like, literally, they had an extra army within the SS now.
They're fucking
ready for war.
I forget, like 52,000 people.
That was just in
applied to be in the.
That was just
original
in
SS.
1933 when they first get in power. Around then, so this is mid-30s now, and it's like they form their own army, and they're operating like on their own compared to the normal
army.
What was it called? The normal army.
I don't know.
I can't remember. But yeah, so Germany are ready for war.
Mm. Secretly.
Yeah. Well, you know what they did as well? Oh, I'll get to it in the other thing. They did a lot of stuff in secret.
Oh. I'm excited.
And Himmler, so as a person, he was like completely anti-Semitic and he was very anti-religious. All of these were anti-religious completely.
Really?
And they got rid of like religion. They just said it's fucking shit. Fucking backwards.
Yeah.
It's all based on like, and the joke is though, this is where the joke comes in, which I'll get into the mad part of Himmler. They said, like, religion's based on, like, fucking bullshit. But then Himmler was massive into, like, the occult and mysticism and black magic.
Was he, yeah?
Which I'll get into now. And basically, that's what part of the SS was.
We touched on that, like, one of the earlier episodes, didn't we?
Yeah.
About, like, the weird, like, black magic, like, witch huntery.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah, part of the Nazis. It's just, like, they were fucking round the bend, like, weren't they?
So, okay, we'll get to Himmler. This is the real Himmler shit now. Himmler, like mysticism and the occult. Mm. So Himmler, he was absolutely obsessed with medieval stories and medieval, like, basically mythology. and all that shit. He even thought he was a reincarnation of a knight, a medieval knight. What is it?
Is this like German myths, though? Like,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, German knights' tales.
A lot of it is like made from Wagner, Richard Wagner.
Was
he? He did this massive opera based on German mythology. And even, you know, the Thule Society that I was saying before?
Yeah.
They loved Wagner. They took a lot of his stuff from his operas.
From his stories.
Yeah. And he's like German fucking... It's basically like Norse mythology in a way, isn't it? Yeah. All that European...
That's what pushes you forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. We spoke about that with Vikings, didn't we? How that, like that, the connection with the Norse mythology and the stories and that, and the gods and the all these great epic stories.
Yeah.
That's what pushed these people forward.
Fucking made them flying.
So these idiots are into all that stuff as well.
Oh, I'm fucking deep into it. Well... So Himmler thought he was a reincarnation of a knight, a famous knight in one of the stories
of
from like 1,000 years ago,
yeah,
who like defeated some in this big battle. And he had this massive castle called Wevelsburg Castle, which he purchased at the start of the war. And he had a round table and he set up a section of the SS called the Teutonic Knights. And they'd gather around this round table and do rituals.
He's off his barn.
He's fucking crazy. What? Him,
it's just so, that's so stupid. So he bought himself a castle.
A massive, and you want to see this castle? It's like a fucking proper medieval castle. He built a moat around it as well and everything. And it was secret. And the best thing is, Hitler had no idea about any of this.
He was just going off doing his own, playing his own little games.
What are you doing with that castle?
Yeah.
He's fucking got like Teutonic Knights in the SS doing rituals.
Dressed up in armor.
Yeah. They used to like dress up in like these like robes and stuff.
Oh, like the
castle.
Templars and
stuff. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And he had this like, he had a massive... this round table constructed for 12 seats, these Teutonic Knights, and they had to get like promoted through the SS ranks and everything to get to it. And they'd sit around it. And he even had like people tortured at his castle and stuff. And they do rituals.
Like sacrifices and stuff?
Literally.
Oh my God.
And this isn't like just fucking dabbling it. They're like, they're going fucking head first
into
like
fully
black
into
magic.
It, yeah.
And he had
So what did the Teutonic, that's what, Teutonic Knights?
So like the Knights Templars, aren't they?
Yeah, but what would they do, like, day to day?
Just fucking mill around.
Yeah, just nothing. They've just got, they worked their way all the way through the SS.
Yeah.
And now they're a Teutonic Knight. And
in
all they
castle.
Do is, once a week, we go around to Himmler's.
Yeah.
And we sacrifice.
Some, like, Jewish person. Yeah.
Is that what?
It's something like that,
because
yeah.
The Knights aren't going around the streets, are they?
In the robes.
In the robes.
Well, even had like...
You might just slip back into the SS during the day.
Yeah. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
SS by day, Teutonic Knight by night.
Yeah. Literally.
Really, even had, before some of the big battles in the war, the head chief commanders of the SS and stuff like that would come like a few days before the war, and they do these rituals to prepare themselves for battle. And they do, like, chants and read from, like, sermons of, like, fucking black magic books and shit like
Vikings.
That. How mad's that? And another thing he had, so he wanted to... He basically... Oh, yeah, he had these skull rings for all his SS people. And they're literally, like, fucking these, like, proper gothic rings with, like, skulls on. And they said there's 11,500 of them were made.
Yeah.
And when you died in battle, the ring... had to be collected off the body and sent back to the castle, but nobody's ever found these rings. So there's like people are saying it's buried somewhere in the grounds of this castle.
What the
fucking German rings? Fucking
11,500
of them.
But some people still have them as well, won't they?
Oh, well, yeah. I think a lot of them died. A lot of them must have died.
Yeah.
They said it was like they brought them back and they'd be like reused.
Oh, yeah, but like people who survived the war, hand them down.
Yeah, imagine having one of them.
You know, like in It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
You get the Nazi uniform.
Fucking Teutonic ring,
yeah.
Knight's ring.
It's a knight's ring.
So he had these rings. And another thing is, he seeked out... So basically, I'll go on about the Annan herb, which is what we touched on in one of the previous things.
We did.
We talked about Wolfram Severs.
Yeah.
Who was like, he looks pretty cool, him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And he was like this the Nazi think tank... The Annan herb, which was created by Himmler in the SS, and all everybody else didn't even know it existed.
Why was he create? So why did he create all these weird little divisions? So he had the SS, and it was
yeah.
like it's pretty good, pretty efficient.
Yeah.
Good, full of everyone who wants to be in it.
Yeah.
Loads of people want to be in it. It's looking pretty good.
They're doing good.
Pretty stacked, pretty prepared.
Yeah.
Why then does he want us? Well, I mean, I guess he's just having a bit of fun, really, isn't he?
Yeah, he's taking it.
He's going, we've got all these people, they do whatever they say. I've got a bit of power here. I can just go and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So he's got some knights, and now he's got the Anna Herb.
This weird group.
Yeah, so he's already split it into, like, what was that other SS you call that you said?
The Einsatz group.
Yeah, you've got them. You've
the Mobile
got,
Death Squads.
Yeah, the Mobile Death Squads. You've got the Gestapo of...
Yeah. Then maybe that's how you just be so efficient.
You just, yeah.
Just have everybody doing, like...
Definitely, yeah.
Just... What is it called, that, when you... You give people jobs.
Delegate,
yeah.
Yeah.
Delegation.
They are delegating, yeah.
Rather than
they are splitting it up. I mean, you would. If you've got 52,000 applicants.
Yeah.
So you've got at least, at the very beginning, 52,000
yeah.
Soldiers. Yeah.
Not just like fucking...
You can't.
Got the whole party, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you've got the resources. You might as well.
And think these are doing also... Himmler on his own is fucking... doing black magic. So he's like fucking going to be out looking for black magic textbooks.
Yeah.
Fucking keeping the lowdown, doing sacrifices.
What's
and
everyone
all
else doing?
Yeah. So this Anna was... So have you seen Hellboy?
I have.
And the Nazis are involved in that?
Yeah.
That was the Anna.
Okay.
You got Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
The Nazis looking for the Holy Grail. Himmler's Anna Herb. They were actually looking for the Holy Grail. Captain America...
So he didn't, but he didn't believe in...
I know that's where it goes into, that's the joke I'd say. He didn't believe in religion, he said it was all bullshit.
But yet
he
believed
into
all
this, like, black magic and fucking holy grail. He sent this Anna Herb off doing, like, loads of expeditions throughout the 30s, looking for the Holy Grail, Thor's hammer. There's loads of relics that they've, like, you know, they go through the papers and see these expeditions.
Yeah.
Fucking go into, like, the Himalayas. Like a group of like SS Nazis.
What the fuck?
That imagine like just being in the pub.
That's
and like you're in the middle of nowhere, fucking farming in your pub.
Yeah.
And these like SS people come in on an expedition.
Looking for Thor's hammer.
Asking stories. You get stuck with them all night drinking.
Because yeah. They're not like out to kill anyone, are they?
No, they're just
genuinely...
They're like scientists. They're basically on the side. I think like that Wolf from Savers, I think he didn't get arrested or anything after the war.
Because they weren't doing anything bad. They were just...
It was science. It was basically all science.
Going on little journeys, little adventures.
They had the witch division
yeah.
in the Anna Herb, which would...
go witch hunting.
They'd follow up on stories all over Europe about witches.
I bet that, like, and that would have been pretty big as well, all those witch stories.
Oh, yeah, in Europe, in, like, Romania and all
yeah.
around there.
Don't get much anymore, do you?
No. They had loads of Holy Grail expeditions. They had the werewolf research.
I remember you telling me about that
fucking
one.
Fucking hunting werewolves. Imagine, like, the scene.
It doesn't make
like, sense. At night in, like, fucking Estonian woods.
Yeah.
And you got some, like, fucking SS Nazis trying to hunt a werewolf down.
Fucking hell.
And this, like, actually happened.
It doesn't make any sense, though. It's like, the way I just said, he was just, a madman, wasn't he? He was like a little boy.
Yeah.
Like a kid. He's just being like...
Just like fucking believing everything and just going for it.
Yeah.
They try and open like portals, which is Hellboy.
Yeah.
So Hellboy, they opened a portal to hell, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Fucking...
So this
Anna, this secret... He was secret as well. I don't think Hitler knew about it.
No.
Because the SS...
Or he wasn't even bothered.
Yeah, he's just like, fuck that.
Do what you want. Fuck off.
Do your weird shit. Yeah. But this SS and everything was just run... Himmler was just running it on his own side thing, doing all this weird shit. So... Himmler, full on doing all this like fucking weird occultist, and he was doing that all through the war as well. And he eventually set up all the and pushed for going out of the occultism. Now he set up and pushed for all the concentration camps. You know, I've got some notes
because he did have that Nazi hatred, like that hatred.
Yeah,
like the anti-Semitism.
Yeah. Actually, I don't. Yeah.
Deep down, it was always there. No matter what he's doing.
Yeah, hunting knows, fucking witches.
Yeah, he knows his job is this Aryan race, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So in his spare time, when he's sacrificing fucking babies in his castle,
yeah,
and he's sending off the fucking squad to go and catch a werewolf, he knows when it comes to 8 o'clock Monday morning.
Yeah, I've got to
be back on the anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I've got to go to Dachau.
Yeah, I've got to get back to Dachau. Adolf's got me to do this, ready.
I think that's exactly how it would have been, you know.
Yeah. It's just his weekends. He's just he's a hobbyist.
Black magic hobbyist. Yeah. Doing rituals and then fucking waking up with a hangover. His robe's like on the side of the bed. Yeah. He's trying to get like his fucking SS uniform back on. Oh, fucking hell.
Some weekend that. Oh.
So yeah, so his weak job,
yeah,
as we should put it, was throughout the big bunch of the war was the Holocaust and doing all the gas chambers. He was the one who I think it was 1942. He ordered the big one, Auschwitz. To be made into
a concentration
camp. Yeah, with the Zyklon B. Mm. That was the gas that they used.
Was it? Yeah,
Zyklon B. Yeah,
pretty dark stuff.
So that's that's Himmler for you.
Yeah, so he's still a really...
Oh, his death is funny. I'll just go on his death. Oh. So, after the war, Hitler killed himself with a bunker, all that.
Yeah. Or did he?
Oh, well, is that, yeah. Mm. That's
we'll
an
save
episode.
That for the Adolf Hitler
Yeah, the Hitler podcast. But Himmler went on the run in Berlin with his bodyguards, and they went on the run as, like, hobos, as tramps.
He tries to disguise himself as a homeless person.
In Berlin. And eventually, like, people found him. It was like a group of vagabonds. And it was Himmler with his bodyguards. And then he got sent to like a camp. They didn't know. Actually, yeah, they sent him to a camp or something.
They didn't realise it was Himmler.
At first.
They were just like...
And he came forward in the camp because he didn't like how he was being treated. And he thought, if I come out as Himmler... Maybe they'd have, like, they'd treat me a bit better.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, some famous. And I think they just fucking, I don't know, but he killed himself.
Did he?
The
So who were the ones who, because I know a lot of them were killed at the same time, weren't they?
Yeah, a lot went to the Nuremberg trials.
Nuremberg trials, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Himmler had already killed himself.
Yeah, Himmler killed himself for, but we'll go on to Hermann Göring.
Yeah.
He, do you want me to tell you about his death first, since we're on the...
His death? You want to start at the death, yeah?
I'm happy. Since we're on about the Nuremberg trials.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was at the Nuremberg trials, and he killed himself the day before he was hung with a cyanide pill in his mouth.
Oh.
And that's how Himmler died.
So you reckon they all had them?
They all had these cyanide pills.
In, like, the teeth?
Yeah.
In the tooth?
Think of that. Like, imagine implementing that to all your generals. Like, when did they get it? Did they have it for, like... 10 years beforehand, this cyanide pill.
Yeah. What were they worried that people were going to find?
All the fucking black magic stuff.
I mean, no, like, genuinely. Like,
Holy Grail.
That we haven't already found out. Because there must be more stuff.
Yeah.
Must be loads of secrets. Well, you said about secrets before, go on.
Yeah, well.
Crack on.
So Hermann Göring, crazy guy.
Yeah.
Complete opposite to Himmler, as you'll find out now.
Okay.
So Himmler.
Serious.
Not really serious, but Himmler was all about the occult, dark, fucking dressing the SS up in, like, black leather and, you know, being, like...
Being scary.
Medieval shit.
Yeah.
Göring was just a party animal.
So,
a drug addict party animal.
Was he, yeah?
I don't think he even cared about, like, the Nazi party.
What was going on?
No. I don't think he even cared. He was just... He literally just wanted to party.
Really?
And just, like, have all money and just post these lavish... Well, we'll get to it. So... Hermann Göring, he was in World War One. He was a flying ace. So you know, you get like the title of an ace.
Yeah,
is like you have to have killed so many. But he got 22 confirmed kills, and he became like famous. He was like a famous person.
Was he like a celebrity?
Yeah, like a celebrity after the war in Germany.
After the First World War.
After the First World War, and like he was like on like posters and everything. You know, like they even had like. From what I was looking at, they had like playing cards
with it
of people from World War One.
Yeah, like the famous, like the best soldiers.
Yeah, and he was on them. He was like a sought after one.
Fucking hell!
And he loved that.
Like match attacks.
Yeah. I think it was something like that.
Yeah, like fucking hell.
So he gets injured actually in World War One, and he has morphine. And he gets
addicted to a little bit.
He has a taste of it. And
is it opium?
I think morphine. It is. Yeah, yeah.
An opioid.
Like heroin.
Yeah,
that's the way to go. Heroin overdose.
Heroin. I think if I had like a couple of weeks to live, I'd spend one of those weeks.
Yeah, on heroin.
Souped up.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like train spotting.
Yeah. Some morphine.
So we got Hermann Göring, flying ace. He after World War One, the Germany lose the war and all that. He's like depressed, but he's famous. He's like trying to take in all this fame, but he's depressed because like, well, the Germany's lost, and it's like, oh, what
all this work I've done, yeah, just led to nothing.
What do I do now? Yeah. I'm kind of famous for this war thing, but yeah, like I haven't really got much going on.
Like scoring a hat trick in the World Cup final, but losing 4-3.
Yeah, and then you go playing for like a shit team afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Then you got. So you've let you play for Scunthorpe.
That's
and
it.
You get called up to the England squad. You get all the way to the final. You score a hat trick in the final.
Yeah.
But you get beat 4-3 by Germany.
Yeah, by Germany.
And then you've got to go back to Scunthorpe.
And Scunthorpe just fucking do nothing.
You've injured yourself in the World Cup final, so you don't even get your big move.
Yeah. That's it. That's Göring.
That's the story. Do you know what? I'm here all week.
Yeah. So he eventually, he finds the Nazi party, 1922, and he's like, something's going on here.
Ah, can I get in?
Can I see what I can do here?
Is this going to fulfil me?
And Hitler liked him because of his fame, and he had a bit of like, because he liked to mill around with the rich people. And so Hitler was like,
you might be useful.
Yeah, I could use you.
Yeah.
So he let him join the Nazi party. The funniest thing was Göring had a Jewish godfather who he grew up with, who basically gave him, like, cause he was from a rich background, gave him all the money, gave him, like, his flying lessons and everything.
Oh, my God. That just turned completely against him.
How funny is that?
Because he was having a midlife crisis.
Yeah. So he joins the Nazi party, and he does, so he was part of, you know that coup that I was saying about? He was part of that, Göring was involved in that as well.
Ah.
And he got shot in that. And then after that, he got addicted to morphine for the medication, because it wasn't healing properly. So he was like, and he got badly addicted to morphine, like really bad.
Was it accessible as well? Well, I mean, for...
I think so. I think, like, with a man of his power.
Yeah, and they're pushing all the medical...
Yeah, or when they found him. When they found Göring at the end of the war, before they sent to the Nuremberg trials, I think they found him in Berlin as well, just milling around as like
they're trying to hide amongst the crowds.
He had like a suitcase, and in his suitcase was just filled up with painkillers.
Was it?
It was nothing else. Just like think of a big suitcase just full of painkillers.
Full of painkillers. Fuck me.
Imagine like finding someone you don't know who he is or anything.
Yeah.
And you're going through. Let's have a look in there. Yeah. You open up, it's just painkillers.
Yeah. You stay there.
Yeah.
There's something dodgy about you.
You're not going anywhere, mate. Yeah. So, so he got shot and he got addicted to morphine and like other drugs. I don't know what other drugs, like painkillers and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
For his injury. And in 1925...
Yeah, all the drugs. It's not taking, like, Gary's and
LSD. Yeah. In 1925, he got cleared from his addiction because he went to rehab. So he had a few years, like, bad addiction, and then he got cleared, and he was doing fine. And this is, like, where he started. In the late 20s, the Nazi party's getting quite big. He started hosting these massive fucking parties.
So he's been through all the drug addiction.
Yeah, and he's got cleared.
Yeah.
And as he gets cleared, the Nazi party's like becoming
massive,
a big force.
Yeah.
And Hitler's like, right, you're back on track.
Yeah.
And,
come on.
And he starts hosting these like massive fucking parties.
Probably Hitler's probably told him.
Yeah, yeah.
Get,
you can imagine. Yeah,
get all these rich people in.
Get all the powerful fucking city people in these parties.
And start pushing Nazi.
And so that's like what he did for the next fucking, I don't know.
However long.
Partying, fine dining with all these. What is it called? Like, there's a name, isn't it? When you're like... You socialise with like
like the upper class.
Yeah.
For
like a reason, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't think what that word is.
I think he was like summed up that.
Yeah.
But he bought loads of massive mansions and castles, and he was like, he was big into like the debauched lifestyle.
I'm just going to Google that word because it's going to annoy me.
Find out what it is.
Yeah.
He had this like really massive mansion as well. Just out on the outskirts of Berlin.
So were these the people in the Nazi party, were they like incredibly rich as well?
I think they were getting a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah.
They had their own army and everything. They had to like, they must have had money to fund all that, mustn't they?
Yeah, they must have done.
But
I can't see any, can't find any, the word.
The word. We'll mention it next podcast.
Yeah, I'll have a deeper dig.
Yeah.
Socialising, so he was socialising with the upper class.
And he was just...
High society, like, all that stuff.
But they weren't just like normal parties, they were proper debauched.
Like full Gatsby parties.
Yeah, literally like that. And he's a drug addict.
Yeah.
Well, he's clean now, but he gets back on it in a bit. So yeah. But you can imagine what it's like in the 20s. And one of the things he set up, though, what I mentioned before, he set up the Gestapo. Even though he wasn't like any, he wasn't interested in any of the fucking politics.
He
set up the Gestapo.
So that's got like a good funky name as well.
Yeah, the Gestapo.
Gestapo.
So he was, he had that was, like we said, free reign brutality.
Yeah.
Like very efficient. And in the 1934, the Night of the Long Knives was the, what I mentioned before, that Ernst Röhm was involved, where it was the internal, like, problems. Mm. They killed off, like, the other leaders in the Nazi Party who were, like, trying to gain power, which was that Ernst Röhm and other people. And Göring, like, helped plan all that with his, like, contacts and everything. And, like, basically that night it was, like, they basically just captured all they had a list.
All the other rivals.
Yeah, I think it was Hess maybe got the list of the rivals and just basically stormed in, captured them all in one night, just all over the Germany, just got them and killed them.
And then,
and it was on the news and everything, like an internal fucking rise up.
Yeah.
And that's like Hitler's got full control there then of the party. He's got no
threats.
Everybody who survived. Are these fucking crazy people?
There is fucking inner circle
mad
chaos.
So Göring helped made that. And then in 1935, so the Treaty of Versailles, which was from World War One, which it's quite dodgy that. I can't remember the ins and out of it, but I don't think it was like, I think they really did fuck over Germany.
Yeah, I've heard that it was a big, wasn't that a big reason why they felt disrespected?
Yeah, yeah. Felt fucking ruined from it.
Yeah.
But one of the things was the Germany couldn't build an air force. But in 1935, Hitler secretly got Göring, who was a superstar in the air, got him to build the Luftwaffe.
Oh, fuck.
Secretly. Set up all like the secret fucking
factories and stuff and
building them all, training all the people up. The whole of the world doesn't even know. Oh, the whole of the world just thinks, oh, Germany, they're not allowed to have
The war kicks off and we're going, right, well, at least Germany don't have an air force.
And then all of a sudden fucking Messerschmitts come flying around and like the Luftwaffe were like
the
fucking,
real deal.
They just blew everybody out of the water.
Yeah.
Literally. They were designed like in that time, the airplanes and the air battles were like a separate thing to other battles. You had like the battles on the ground. Then you had the battles in the water.
Like when we talk about like Napoleon stuff and it's like the sea battle, there was a sea
just
battle.
Set.
And then there was
Whereas the Luftwaffe was designed to be integrated.
Yeah.
And it was like communication and like the way they attacked and they trained. Whereas you're coming up against like fucking the British or the French.
Yeah.
Who are like, they've either trained in the air, a separate thing, or they trained on land.
But these people, the Luftwaffe are ready to...
They're with the Blitzkrieg, fucking flying in. You're like, what the... we haven't even got like any anti-aircraft guns set up or anything properly or anything.
Oh, he's just taking ground troops out.
Yeah, coming in. So that was like that was why the Luftwaffe was so good.
Yeah.
But they made the Messerschmitt 109 as well, which was like incredible.
Mm.
I think it just had... I think if you could pick every factor that you want out of like a plane of that time... fighting against.
That's exactly what you want.
It's got them all.
Yeah.
It's Göring's planes. And throughout all the 30s, he was still like partying the high life, living with like these massive parties. And then in 1937, he was prescribed painkillers. So he's had like, he's had a bit of time, hasn't he?
Yeah. So he's like set up the
Luftwaffe, the Gestapo.
Yeah. He's had all that, and while he's been clean, we still have parties, and he's probably pushing the Nazi party to all these rich people. And that's
all these influential politics.
That's the rise of the Nazi party.
Yeah.
And now...
he gets prescribed painkillers.
The war
hasn't
started yet. No. Okay.
This is 1937, but he gets prescribed painkillers for like a toothache, and instantly he's just like, bang, that's
straight
it.
Straight back on the saddle.
On everything.
Oh my God.
And you can imagine with the parties... fucking like these castles in the middle of like fucking Austria mountains, or people turn up in like them 8-wheeler fucking Rolls Royces, and like he was just like on everything and going fucking downhill. And one of the, so I've written this down, this was ridiculous. So he was massive on the hunting, but like preservation, you know, I said before about like the he set up these preservation, he basically took control of massive parts of forests in Germany. There's like one near Berlin, and he took control of it and like set up like the animal like preservation, and was like, and he'd do all these hunts in there and hunt, but it was like within, it wasn't like he was just fucking killing all the animals, it was like, you know, we mentioned before, haven't we, where it's like...
Like trophy hunting.
Yeah, like trophy hunting, but you're like... You're still looking after...
Yeah,
it's land and...
Like what people do now when you get a... What they call like a tag or something, or a ticket or whatever it is to go and get one deer. That's what it was. It wasn't like a
and you're
free-for-all.
Yeah, and you're probably hunting like the deer when it's like overpopulated or whatever. Yeah,
or like an old, you're only getting the old... Like elderly books
stuff like that. It wasn't like he was just fucking, because he was really big on like the preservation of animals and like land and the countryside,
keeping the country beautiful.
And he even imported like big game into Germany, into these forests to hunt them down.
What the
he imported like big elk and moose and like what else? I think he had like birds and stuff, wolves, just fucking importing all these things.
Yeah, just bringing stuff into like his.
Think
his
of like
forest.
Being in his circle. Yeah, like partying all the time.
And then
you're being
the
invited going to these like forests. You're hunting like a fucking elephant in Germany. Like dressed up in like your fucking Calvin Klein, Hugo Boss, Adidas.
Fucking sambas on.
Yeah. Another thing that he had two pet lions.
Did he, yeah?
Actual pet lions, and you can like see videos of it and everything. So he had, so Hitler had this, what was it called? The Berghof house, which was where all the lads went. Fucking Goebbels, Himmler. They all had like parties of this. You can see loads of footage of them. Yeah. All the wives went there as well, had like wives weekends away in this. It was like right in the mountains.
Yeah, like a secret getaway.
And there's like loads of footage of him turning up with his like fucking lions and everything. And they're all sat around like a lion just fucking on the wall
what
next
the
to him.
Fuck?
It's mad. He got him, I think it was the...
Where did he get them from?
The in Berlin in the zoo. The owner of the zoo wanted to like get involved with like going in these parties.
So he said, you can.
He gave him, you can have these two lions.
If you let me.
But when they get big enough, you send them back and we'll give you two other ones. But he didn't, he just kept them. These fucking two massive
like
ones.
Like trading.
And he said like in one of the mansions, he had this massive mansion that he built for his wife. And he said on that specific mansion, he'd let the lions roam freely.
Oh.
So imagine like, I don't know, fucking being a servant.
Yeah, maid.
Maid, and they've got these fucking lions roaming free.
Oh my God.
But that, think of like, so you can think of the Nazi party, they're all debauched.
Yeah.
But then one of them has got fucking pet lions.
Yeah.
Is that extreme? Yeah. Well, how extreme is that?
he could have... Like
Hitler had his fucking German Shepherd, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was his pet. Gordon's got these
two lions, fully grown as well.
That were like just fucking milling around. I think they didn't get to full grown.
But
he had to
like...
get rid of them when his son was born.
Oh, did he? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Oh, thank God.
So like, that's just fucking...
Yeah,
it's
he
just
was
ridiculous.
Living a life.
But the next thing, the final thing about Goering, what made him... even more ridiculous was he was the guy who plundered all the art. So you know, like all the, I think he had a one collection, the biggest art collection.
Did he? Yeah.
Of stolen, it was just all stolen from all over. He had like he had a special guy in France as well, and he just stole all the art in France. He had trains full of it just going straight into Germany, just full.
Why is he just like this? He's such an interesting. It's what a character.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. He sounds like he's like.
Think of his mansions, everything with these parties, just covered in art,
like
all these
stolen
fucking,
artwork,
all these carvings and
lions
like,
roaming around,
300-year-old paintings from like fucking Italy.
He's probably got deer heads on his wall. Fucking hell!
And he's
tripping his balls, I don't know.
Yeah, he's fucking. They say like they always say there's a lot of the treasure. The art hasn't been found as well. They say there's bunkers full of it.
Must be.
People go hunting for it.
Do they?
There's that program, isn't there? Which follows like people going hunting.
I feel like
around like Europe.
Yeah.
The art or treasures of Nazis just fucking hoarding
Nazi
all
treasure
these
hunters. Yeah.
Fucking. But Goering was the main dude who had all the art. He had all like the Greek, you know, the Greek
statues and stuff.
Yeah, he had all them, everything, and he said like
And you just take it from wherever he wants.
Yeah, just send in the army or whatever. Ask him his essay.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you're looking for the Holy Grail in fucking Zambia.
Yeah. There's a couple of busts I'd like from ancient Rome.
Yeah. Just bring them back, please.
Could you get them on your way back?
And he's hoarding all this. And I think there's like loads of funny stories. There's one like Brunhilde, supposed to be the best painting ever made, and it went down.
Is that? Did they say Brunhilde in Inglourious Basterds?
Oh, they might do.
That rings a bell.
Well, they say Brunhilde. Nobody's ever seen it, but it's supposed to be like the best painting ever. I think it was a medieval painting.
Yeah.
And they say it went down in a Nazi sub, and it's the submarine somewhere. Nobody's ever found it, but there's a sub, Nazi U-boat somewhere in the sea, at the bottom of the sea.
Oh my god!
With this painting on, you can imagine how many people has fucking
been diving, looking,
been looking for that. But I can't remember off the top of my head now. But there's loads of stories like that. You know, like special artwork that's just gone face missing. The earth. It went missing at the same time as World War II.
Yeah,
it's just gone.
Nuts. Those fucking pesky nuts.
Goring.
There's no stories like that for England. Is there for Britain? Nothing like that. No one interested. Just big fucking fat Churchill eating pies and stuff. Drinking loads of wine.
He was just drunk, wasn't he?
Yeah, fucking glutton.
Fucking, bet you he was so fucking painful to be around.
Yeah, but he stunk. Fucking stinks. Just making cigars. Noises.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he fucking did that thing. You know like what middle-aged people do? They cough weird at the back of their throat.
Yeah.
They do like some weird like...
Middle-aged people.
Yeah, literally that.
That's what he does all day.
And then you've got these fucking Nazi people who are doing black magic fucking dimension rituals.
Yeah, looking for werewolves and fuck me.
Pet lions.
Pet lions.
Come and see me fucking pet.
Skull rings.
See, it's... As much as we're saying we don't sympathise with them...
We are on Churchill's side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something about the Nazi party that's very interesting, isn't
it? It is,
there?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason we're not talking about the fucking...
Whoever the fucking...
What party was it? Was Churchill conservative?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Conservative Party.
Yeah, who's got nothing to say about nothing.
Nothing to say.
I think we've said everything we said about the English in the previous episode with the iceberg one.
Yeah.
That was still good, though.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
Well, it was all, wouldn't that have been really, really cool to talk about if it actually happened?
I feel like the Nazis would have done it.
Yeah, or they would have done, definitely. Well, it's like Connor was saying, wasn't he, about that fucking the tank with the big exercise balls as wheels, mindproof tank. Was that Nazi?
I think so. Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen?
It probably was. I'd believe it if you said it.
Have you ever seen the railgun?
No.
Gustav the railgun. There's like that's a meme where it's like Thomas the Tank Engine, and then you've got Gustav the railgun, and it was this massive. Like Nazi, you have to get.
Is it a giant? I think I have seen.
It's like an artillery cannon.
Yeah.
On a
train.
On a train, and it could move all around Germany. And they said it could fire. It could have fired. They tried to fire it across the Channel.
Did they? I believe it. What is it, Gustav?
I think that's the meme that it's like Gustav the railgun, but I think you've just put German railgun or something. It's fucking massive.
Yeah, I have seen that. The Schwerer Gustav.
Oh, is it called Gustav?
Yeah, yeah. That.
Yeah, look how big that is.
That's ridiculous. A big fucking tank train.
So Cal showed me his picture of it. Look at that.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, so if you're listening, go and have a Google of this.
Schwerer, Schwerer.
Look at that picture that you showed me then. It's like the Nazi general stood looking at it in like the fucking pristine leather jackets.
It's so weird.
Like they're out of the Matrix.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was like that, like, nice shiny leather. They're quite popular at the minute, them.
Yeah.
Nice leather jackets. look how tiny those little Nazis are next to it.
They're just dots next to it.
Little Nazi engineers. That is fucking big, that. And they tried to shoot that across the Channel.
Yeah. Well, they had...
I wonder how close they got.
Well, they had the... Have you ever seen the V2 rockets in... what is it called? It was, like, on the French border. Because the guy who made the V2, Von Braun.
Yeah.
He was the scientist who made the V2 rockets for Germany. They were like self-propelled rockets that flew, could bomb fucking London and all that. But he was the guy who NASA took after the war and did all the fucking.
Oh,
NASA.
He's one of them, isn't he?
He's just like the big NASA dude.
Well, he took loads, didn't he?
Yeah, and they were all fucking Nazi engineers.
Oh my god!
Fucking bombing
But that's like some serious, like, serious work, that.
Yeah.
Like, building that fucking big tank train.
Fucking big engineering.
Yeah, loads of engineering. And that, and then those, like a fucking paper airplane fucking missile. You just lash it across the thing and it lands perfectly in the central London. I mean, if I was an astronaut, I'd take him as well.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Fuck me.
Tell us some more of your secrets. What else were you working on?
Yeah, come on. Like, how did you do that?
Well,
they'll give you a false identity. You lose the accent.
You know, have you heard the theory where they said the Nazis got to the moon?
I feel like...
And there's obviously the extra theory where they've got bases on the moon and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I might have heard that bit.
But like they say... Because the guy who did all the moon landings and all the rocket systems was that Von Braun fucking wrote the book on it all.
Yeah.
And he was doing it in Germany. And what else? What unclassified? Have you seen, like, there's another one where they say they had all the bases on Antarctica?
Yeah, I've seen that one as well. And I mean, they were doing, like...
Fucking doing dodgy stuff. If they were doing all this fucking weird black magic shit...
Yeah, all this secret stuff that they were doing even before the war.
Yeah.
Before we were even...
All this that we're on about is, like, yeah, going on fucking 10 years before the war.
Yeah, exactly. So they could have been doing anything. There's also... That's why they fucking turn up in Indiana Jones and Hellboy.
Yeah. So there's Goring for you.
Yeah.
So he... Completely different Timmler, isn't
he? I'm into him, yeah.
He wasn't even, like... Even though he set up the Gestapo and the Luftwaffe, he didn't give a shit about fucking Holocaust or anti-Semitic or whatever.
Yeah.
He just wanted to party, take drugs, pet lions, fucking get all the art.
Yeah, and he had to do something.
Yeah.
Just to justify
his... Yeah.
His involvement.
Yeah. So there's that guy. Now, the next guy... Rudolf Hess.
Yeah.
Have you heard of him?
I have, yeah. I've only ever heard of these through you, though.
Well, really?
No, I've heard the name. Like, the names are there, but I don't know any.
Yeah.
You give me some snippets.
So, Rudolf Hess is funny, and I'll go on my phone to him. Now, he's generally... I think we can laugh at this guy.
Yeah.
He is generally funny because what he did. But, because I know it's a bit weird laughing at... About the Nazis and stuff.
But we must say, this is genuine comedy.
So Hess was, he was basically Hitler's right-hand man right from the start.
Yeah.
He seemed like very beta, a beta guy. If you watch all the videos of him, the way he just like held himself and the way he talked and stuff.
Just a bit of a bitch.
Yeah. But from the history books, he was supposed to be like a thug, Hitler's fucking second-hand man. Fucking from the start to finish doing all the mad shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know, have you... Listeners go and watch some videos, see him. It's funny because, like, all the mad videos of all the generals and everything, and his head's always, like, in the background.
Is it?
You know, like, in, like, the rallies and stuff, and you got Hitler doing the speech.
Because he's not, like, a general.
He's just, like, his...
Little assistant, little PA.
Yeah.
But he's a thug. He says he's a thug.
Well, they say, like, he earned his position through when it was the SA and all that, you know, in the early days of the Nazi Party.
Yeah.
But he was the guy... So Hitler did that little coop in Bavaria.
Yeah, gets
and
nicked.
Got arrested.
Yeah,
he shared a cell with Hess.
Oh.
And that is where. So this picture, this guy, you got.
So was Hess involved in the coop as well?
Yeah. He was right from the start.
So it's not like they met in that cell.
No. Yeah, I don't know why they gave. They must have just gave them both the same cell. Just fucking hell, that
gives a shit. Yeah.
So picture this: you got Hitler out. His mind's already gone. Doing a coop, fucking big anti-Semitic. He's in the cell, Hess. He's pacing up and down the cell, speaking Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
And Hess
is
typing it out.
Oh, on my typewriter. God.
And you can say Hess was the first grammar Nazi.
Yeah.
Can't you?
Yeah, literally. Fuck's sake.
But that's how Mein Kampf was written, by fucking Hitler strolling up and down in his cell.
And Hess
typing it all out.
What a fucking bitch. Oh, my God.
So...
I didn't realise that.
Yeah. That's
so they requested, Hitler's gone, I've got a year in prison here. I've got my little
Been from the start.
I'm gonna use this time efficiently. I'm gonna use it effectively. I'm gonna write a book.
Oh, this mad book.
Could someone get me a typewriter?
For this guy next to you.
For Rudolf. Is that his Rudolf Hess? Yeah?
Rudolf. Yeah, so he was now after the Nazis, they screw up power in, what did I say, 1933, was it? There was something around there.
Yeah.
They said Hess was appointed deputy Führer.
Hmm.
But throughout the whole war, Hess really didn't have anything to do. He was just, like, milling around in the background of Hitler. And, like, he never really, you know, like you had like Gorin being like the head of the Luftwaffe.
A lot of them were given responsibility and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Himmler was doing like all that fucking SS and all these side things. Yeah. Whereas Hess, he had this title of like Deputy Führer and stuff, but he didn't really have anything to do.
No.
And he said he got bored. Yeah. And he used to go, so this is, I think, because he went crazy. I think that was part of it, like all these other people doing all this shit. And he was bored, just left to his own devices.
Felt worthless.
Yeah. And he had a load of castles as well. And he started dabbling into like the occultism,
yeah,
mysticism. They said like loads of people, they had this, I don't know if it was actually Himmler's castle, and Hess used to stay there, but there's stories, people walking into the room where Hess was, and all the furniture was balanced all on top of each other in different like arrangements. And nobody says, why was he doing that? Like what putting like the chairs, you know, like balancing on like three legs on top of each other and stuff like that. Because he's bored.
He's that bored.
He's just got nothing to do. He's
trying
just
to entertain
like
his mind. He's literally typed out a book.
Yeah. He's done Mein Kampf. Yeah. Fucking typed it out in prison.
Yeah, so he's ready. And then he comes out and he's like, here we go. Me and Adolf are ready to kick off. And then
he just starts doing all this strange stuff. He started doing like
I can't imagine him like going to Hitler every day. Is there anything for me? Oh, just Rudolf, just get on with whatever you're doing.
go.
Do what you were doing yesterday.
Yeah,
you didn't tell me anything to do yesterday either. Rudolf, not now.
Stop it. So he did loads of weird shit. He was
he was just trying to entertain his mind. I bet he was quite an intelligent guy.
I think he was. I think he had an educated background. He was in World War One as well.
Yeah.
He fought in World War One, but I don't think he was like decorated or anything. Mm. But there was other stuff where he was, through his boredom, I presume, he became a really bad hypochondriac.
No.
And Hitler got pissed off with him.
He was like, being a little pussy.
You're not ill. Fucking stop it. And he said like he had everything. And he used to do all, you know, because the Nazis were the head of like the front of fucking all these experiments to do with health.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, what's that? Can that help this? Can that do that? And he was like having all these experiments done on himself. Fucking like sorting out shit that wasn't even a problem to him. And there's like famous ones where he did a lot of electric shock therapy.
Yeah.
Fucking electrocuting him and doing all these weird fucking shooting electric currents through him. And I think he went crazy, but not in the crazy. He just went crazy as in like just fucking bored and just trying to find stuff to do.
Do absolutely anything.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So, but he said like he did dabble into like the occult mysticism, and I think he was staying at Himmler's castle a lot. So you can imagine Teutonic Knights milling around and stuff. He's going to be like, oh, what's going on here? What's happening?
Because he's desperate for any form of entertainment.
But the best thing is, this is where Hess is known to be. This is where he got his name now. Mm. Okay, so he had his own aviation, like, airfield somewhere in, and he took flying lessons and became quite good. And he wanted to get a role in the Luftwaffe as like a pilot or something or a general. And Hitler was like, no, I don't want you involved in the war side of stuff. And he was like, oh, fuck's sake, I've got my own planes and everything, we're doing this.
I've spent so much money and time learning how to fly a plane. I've got my pilot's license.
I can do it.
Yeah. I'm really, really good at it.
And Hitler's like, no, we don't want you getting shot. We don't, just fucking chill
you're
back
really
here.
Important to me, Rudolf, okay?
Yeah.
I know I don't give you much to do.
So Hitler put him on a ban for flying, from flying. And then, so he's banned Hitler. He's fucking, this guy, how?
I'm picturing a child.
Yeah. That's like
a teenager.
That the joke of it is like, he is literally like that within it.
Yeah.
He hasn't got any roles or anything. Yeah, he's one of the fucking Deputy Führer.
Yeah.
And I wish I wrote down more of the weird stuff he did when he was like bored, but he's got loads of stuff that's like, just silly, like,
just
why
dipping
you
his
doing
fingers and just random stuff.
Yeah, like, so, like, loads of, it's all second-hand accounts, like, that of, like, people walking in the room and him doing something weird. I think he was, like, big into astrology and stuff like that, and, all fucking weird stuff.
Yeah, just trying to cure his boredom.
But on the 10th of May, 1941, he's at his peak of, I don't think he's even boredom. I think it was,
he's going crazy.
I think he's gone crazy. So he's been in talks with some intelligent officers from Britain.
Yeah.
And he's been informed that the Duke of Hamilton, who was somewhere up north, could, if Hess turned up, he would meet him and talk to him about the war. So Hess believed that if he met this Duke of Hamilton, he would set up a peace treaty to end the war.
Yeah.
So Hess, on his flight bomb, sneaked into his own like aircraft field thing,
yeah.
Fucking climbing over the fence. He's like the fucking top dog.
He's the Deputy Führer.
And he's sneaking into his own,
into his own
airfield.
Taking his own plane.
He's got a secret plane that he's worked on yeah. to have extra fuel built up that nobody knew. And he takes this flight across from Germany on the 10th of May all the way to Scotland.
Yeah.
And he flew it dead low, and like the people in Britain on the radar seen stuff.
Yeah.
And because he was flying low, they couldn't like properly... because if you flew dead low, it messed with the radar.
Yeah.
The radars couldn't pick up properly. Probably because of the land and whatever.
Yeah.
So they couldn't track him properly. And they even sent like people out to fly to go and find whoever this was. They didn't know it was Hess to find out. And there's loads of records of it. You can yeah. see like picking it, like where they picked him up on the map. You like
on his way up to Scotland.
So he goes to Scotland. He drops first of all, he's got these auxiliary fuel things, dumps them in the sea.
Yeah.
And he flies up to Scotland. And I think he crashes.
He crash lands
the plane in Scotland. And he gets out, and these people fucking see him and like, what the fuck's this? This like German bomber with one of the main dudes, fucking Hitler's right hand man from the start.
Crash landed in Scotland.
On his own. And I think they're like just random police or whatever find him. Like, imagine just policemen, you're like in this like small town.
Yeah.
And they start, you're like, what the fuck? And Hess is coming out and he's demanding to speak to this Duke of
Hamilton.
Hamilton, yeah. And the police were like, what the fuck? And arrested him.
Yeah.
And they basically just arrested him. And they put him in this this prison. And they said to the Duke of Hamilton, right, this like fucking... Rudolf Hess has somehow on his own appeared asking for you. And this Duke of Hamilton was like, fuck that, I'm not speaking to him. I've got nothing. And like,
what do you even say?
Yeah, like, what do you do? And like, this Duke Vanson was like, I don't know what he's on about, because he was on it too. Hess was like delusional, basically.
Yeah.
He thought this Duke would talk and then go and talk to Churchill and go, right, stop the war. Fucking it's done.
And he'd become back a hero.
Yeah. And they basically just arrested Hess and put him in Spandau prison camp, which I don't know, is a Spandau Ballet?
Spandau Ballet, yeah.
Is that linked?
Must do, yeah. I don't know any other use of Spandau.
Yeah. That was where Hess was...
Where was that?
I'm not sure, actually.
But obviously in Britain.
Yeah, somewhere in Britain. Yeah. But they just arrested him.
And kept them there.
And that was it. That was like, it just cut there.
Did it, yeah.
Like his fucking mission, his delusional thing was just like,
where he's going to save the day and end the war.
The Brits are just like, right, fucking put him in prison.
Yeah, absolutely not.
<You're done. laughs> So he was arrested, and Hitler found out he was arrested and like went ballistic.
Yeah.
Like fucking hell. He's supposed to be banned from flying.
Yeah, and he's
fucking been pestering me. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And they sent like a news report out to like the Germans and that, saying Hess has gone delusional and lost his mind.
Oh, so like, don't listen, he's not gone, he's a traitor.
Yeah, he's just like completely lost his mind.
Yeah, he's gone insane.
Which he kind of
definitely did.
Did.
Yeah.
so he was in prison, and then during the Nuremberg trials after the war in 1946 or wherever, Hess was sent back.
Yeah.
So you gotta think, like, all these trials, like all these generals were all like getting hung.
Mm.
Hess, so he went to the trial. Hess, second in man to Hitler. They found him not to be guilty of anything
because he didn't do anything.
Because he didn't. He was not part of anything.
He wasn't allowed to do anything.
But he got done because he was part of the party, whatever.
Yeah.
He still was arrested and spent his life in prison. Yeah. But he didn't get done for like none of the war crimes or anything, even though he was like the highest person in the party.
He did spend his like whole life in prison, didn't he? Yeah.
And there's like, but in the Nuremberg trials, he claimed to have amnesia about everything. And then they figured out that he's lying there.
Yeah.
So his second claim was it was all a ruse. It was all a joke. That's what he claimed. Like, imagine being in this like super serious trial. Fucking one general after another's getting found and hung, and it's like, and he's like saying, "All right, it's all a ruse."
But no, he said, "No, no, I've got what
amnesia. I don't remember any of it."
Yeah, I don't remember any of it. And then they go, "No, we don't believe you." And he goes, "Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, no. It was all a joke.
It was all a joke. Yeah. Nothing serious. It was all a joke."
He's such a fucking whopper, isn't he?
Like, what the fuck's all that?
That's like a last ditch chance to be like, "All right, I'll try and save the day again.
Yeah, yeah.
If I come out now, I've been in England. I'm all right. I'll just say it was all a joke, and we'll all get off."
Imagine being the general's like next to him,
stood there like, "Are you for fucking real?
Shut up." And he's saying that. But then, so he spent the rest of his life in this Spandau. I don't know if that was in Brno, it might have been in Germany. Just sound a bit weird, doesn't it? Spandau.
Yeah.
Just sound German, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'll have a look.
Are you going to Google? Yeah. But there's, he committed suicide at age 93.
Yeah.
In 1987. But the people,
it's just mad that, because like, oh, like, and it's like your dad and my dad and parents and that'll come out in the news.
Yeah,
fucking Rudolf Hess commits suicide.
The man who like fucking did all this weird stuff.
Yeah. It was in Berlin, Spandau prison.
Ah, right, yeah.
So they took him back to
Berlin, back to the stomping ground.
Yeah, well, that's where it held seven top Nazi leaders convicted.
Wow.
In the Nuremberg trials.
Bloody hell!
Wow.
So he killed himself, but they say he was assassinated. Because his death was really suspicious. It was like in this outhouse in a shed right at the back of the prison where he wouldn't have been able to have gone to. And the way like the rope and everything was like, the way they found his body, it didn't really add up to like
every prison suicide.
Yeah.
It's a little bit dodgy.
They say like he was going to come out with some secrets or something he could have.
Like reveal it all. Yeah. I wonder why he didn't have a cyanide.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just didn't want to kill himself.
Yeah, imagine like Hitler lining up all the generals in this meeting saying, "Right, we've got these cyanide pills that you need to take."
Yeah.
And Hess says, I don't want that.
Or he skips Hess out because he knows he's not important enough. You're right, everyone, we're going to implant this cyanide pill into your tooth. Okay? And if you get captured, anything like that, we're all going to bite down and kill ourselves. That's the agreement. We don't want any secrets to come out.
And Hess is sat there.
He stood there.
Like, he's got no pill. Yeah. He's looking around.
Oh, Rudolf, no. No.
Just shut up for a second.
Yeah, stop. I'm trying to talk to the generals.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
what's happened, then.
And also in that Spandau prison was, like, knocked down because a lot of neo-Nazis and stuff, for some reason, have Hess as the one of the fucking top guys that they idolise.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't know where they get that from. But they had to knock down the prison because it was becoming a neo-Nazi shrine.
Oh, my God. Like, even after it was like...
Well, this was like 1987.
Yeah.
I suppose like in the late 80s, 90s.
Hmm.
When all
the
neo-Nazis...
Hess was the only one left in the prison. He killed himself. And all the neo-Nazis move in.
But I don't know what, like,
he was.
I feel like Himmler would have been. I feel like Himmler's a bit more.
Probably because
fucking
he's like,
edgy, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But he was like
black magic
like,
and all that, but.
The only remaining one, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
That would like that core group.
I suppose if you're in the 80s and you're a neo Nazi.
Yeah.
The only one left alive that you can kind of.
Yeah, you want to go and chill outside. I bet. Do you know what? He probably was killed, wasn't he?
Do you reckon?
By someone. And they're seeing, like. We've got neo-Nazis chanting outside the prison every fucking day. I don't know why, but everyone else in that prison's already died and gone.
Yeah, and it's just Hess.
And the prison guard, like, we could just fucking go. That shed out there, just go and we'll just kill him.
Just put him in there.
And then everyone will go away. We'll flatten the prison, everyone will go away.
We'll go home.
Yeah.
We'll flatten the prison and we'll go home.
That definitely happened.
Yeah.
You've heard it here first, folks.
Well, that's Hess. So, yeah. three different people.
Three quality people.
I have some more people. We've done an hour and 38.
Yeah.
I could just roll off a few quick ones, maybe.
Or do you want to save them for we do a part two?
I don't think I have enough.
Where have we got Goebbels?
Well, there's Goebbels.
Can I hear a bit about Goebbels? Because he's... Yeah. So, what are the names that you've got?
So, we've got We got Goebbels.
Yeah.
Propaganda man.
Because that name I know.
Yeah. You know him. We've got Bormann, which was Hitler's secretary.
Mm.
So he was the guy who like allowed all the information to be passed to Hitler. And they say he was a bit power mad and kind of suppressed some information, allowed some, you know, like played on that. He played a bit of role in like, you know, how everything was
being fed to the
fed to Hitler and how everything was being fed out and stuff like that. So there's him.
So he had a bit of control over.
But I don't think there's not really much to go into with him. But yeah, he was
just he played a part. What say, do we know how he died?
I'm not sure.
Probably got away with it all, didn't he?
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I was just doing what I was told.
Just a secretary.
Yeah.
I only worked in the office.
Yeah. You got Albert Speer.
Yeah.
Who was Hitler's architect? He did like the fucking. You know, you see some of them, the Nazi architects, like the what's the stadium in Berlin.
Oh, fucking!
It's just like how the fuck do you build that?
Yeah,
there's loads of. He was like behind all that. Then eventually, in the war, he became like Ministry of War and help build like fucking tanks and shit like that.
Fair enough. Yeah, just translate all your skills from architecture into tank building.
Tank building.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So I've got to add them three down.
Yeah, but Goebbels. Give me some Goebbels.
Goebbels. Give me some Goebbels. So Goebbels, proper propaganda man.
Yeah. So is he like Hitler's youth or not?
No, I think he was from the start.
Okay.
He joined, you know, Nazi Party with the others at 1922 or 21. He was there at the start. But again, Goebbels, completely opposite to the Aryan in every way possible. He had a club foot. He's just, you couldn't get further away.
Is he a big fat guy?
No, he was dead skinny.
Oh.
Gorin was the fat guy.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was the big fat guy. But yeah, Goebbels was like a bit like Himmler.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm picturing Goebbels.
Yeah. But he was like fully against religion and against the Jews. He was like really against Jews.
Yeah.
He really pushed the fucking anti-Jew thing on Hitler and the party and everything.
Definitely read that book.
Yeah. Well, he was massive on like philosophy and stuff. And he wrote a few philosophy books and stuff before he joined the Nazi party, and he wasn't getting anywhere, but he was writing a lot of like weird stuff like that book I was saying, The Protocols Elders. I think he did read that book. Well, I think they all did.
100%, yeah.
But he wrote a few books and didn't get anywhere, and then he seen the Nazi party like all the others and we're like, fucking
here's a chance to get my name out
here
there.
We go. So he joined, and he because he was educated and he was like philosophy and stuff, Hitler was like, you're quite good at like getting messages out and like talking to all the people and stuff.
Yeah, so you're kind of in control of your thoughts and stuff.
You're not like a fucking weirdo. We don't need you for any of the weird stuff.
But you can get your word across pretty well.
So he put him at first. He was there to like provoke fights and like, you know, rallies and stuff.
Yeah,
like really just get the people,
get everyone going. Yeah,
that was what it, and like, you know, like catchy slogans and chants and shit.
Yeah,
that's where he like fucking made his name at the start.
My God.
Like riling up all the people. But then I think he's basically just like a snowballing thing. You know, the more power he gets, the more he started, like, he was the one who censored all the books in Germany. You know, did all the burnings of books. Like he stopped all like American films coming in.
He was just getting more and more extreme.
Yeah, he was like all, what is that called? Like society based.
Like
the news. He took full control of the news.
Yeah.
Did all the newspapers, fed exactly what they wanted
like,
to hear.
Like North Korea.
Yeah, but, yeah, just like that. And that's what he
like
did.
If he was in control,
he was behind all that style.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And he was, so he did like a lot of the radio. He implemented all the rules on the radio and what you could say, what you can't say.
He was just filtering everything.
Everything filtered. He was the man behind all that. But he was famous. The biggest thing he was famous for as well was his speeches. So if the listeners want to go and listen, obviously it's in German, so you'll need to put the subtitles on. Mm. But his speeches were supposed to be like amazing, like textbook. If you could like, if you want to be a public speaker, go and watch it, take notes from this. He was supposed to be like the best of the best. And the way he did it was he used to like practice in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
Like weeks before, and he'd have the speech meticulously laid out like word for word, and you'd like practice all the gestures and everything down to a T.
Yeah,
like absolute. And you'd do it like every day in front of this mirror,
do the full real life speech.
Yeah, and by the time he comes to do it in front of everybody,
It was second nature.
It's just like perfect.
Muscle
every,
memory.
And like, he's obviously analysing it. Every little bit, every gesture, every like, the word, how you hold the word and whatever.
Yeah.
And that's like, he's, and he did another thing with his speeches that other people weren't doing, but he had like big speaker systems. So he'd set up big speakers. Just so like everybody could hear, and people were like, whoa, what the fuck's this?
It sounds ridiculous as well when you hear those, like the speakers, it's like fucking...
And you imagine like, I don't know, just in, what's another country, in Poland?
Yeah.
Just some fucking little political guys on a box.
Yeah.
And you got this guy, but you know what else he had? He had big flames. He used to set off big fires in the speeches.
Yeah.
Just to like captivate.
Yeah.
Imagine being like... Fucking loads of people, big speakers to him, and this like
flames one,
just got rising up dead tall. You're like, wow,
hook, line, and sinker.
So that's and then you got like he had he used to make people like dress up. You know, so obviously we know like the SS dressed in like this really fancy fucking leather Hugo Boss jackets and all that. But he made sure that people at the speeches, the people who was around, were dressed up so fine just to convey this like. The speech was just like, I don't know.
Power.
Fucking epicness of like, wow.
Yeah.
But he was one of the people who did like a lot of, throughout, like it was snowballing all the shit. Like he basically built up.
Yeah.
Further on, he did like, he got more power doing more stuff. And because he was so anti-religion, he did a lot of the anti-religious stuff as well. So like the burning of churches and like the persecution of religion, not outside of the Jewish, like, Catholicism and all that. And he even did in, I think it was like 1935 or something, a year, he it's not even funny, I don't know why I'm laughing, but it's just ridiculous. He claimed that all the, from the Christian churches, all load of nuns and priests were sexually abusing kids, and through them claims he got loads of them like executed just in 1 year.
And that was his, like...
He just, like...
His fuck you to the...
Yeah, to, like, religion. He claimed that he's not... But it's funny. I was thinking, it's funny because, like, there's obviously the joke about priests and stuff touching kids. That must have been a thing back then as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just, like, a recent thing. It's not just, like, something that's come out in, like...
No.
The past 50 years or something.
Definitely not, no. I feel like that's common knowledge. That
has it been common knowledge for a long while?
It's been going on for, hundreds of years. Like
Goebbels has tried to play on that.
Well, he's just smashed it out of the park, hasn't he?
Literally.
I've got power, and everyone listens to me.
Yeah.
All those priests. All those. Kids.
We've got loads of fucking kids who've been touched up by priests.
Yeah.
And then just got them all executed.
It's the way to do it. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
It is. It really is. So he was like, that's like mastermind stuff, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's some
Goebbels.
Yeah, he's intelligent.
Yeah,
really intelligent. I think he studied philosophy. Actually, I think in his college days,
there weren't many who were like just total brutality. Were there?
I think it was just, I don't know. It was Goring. Did he have he was just an ace, wasn't he?
Yeah, but it's not. Like it was nothing party. Like.
Yeah, he didn't have any.
Oh, he wasn't evil, was he?
No. He didn't have like any political thing.
Yeah.
Doing pulling tricks or anything, he was just fucking debauched.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who was the who's your Panzer guy as well?
So you got Rommel.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe he's probably one we could save for another one.
Yeah, because I know you're big into Rommel. Like.
Rommel's like, I think just from a historical point of view, he's just like the war man. So you got the the Blitzkrieg that went into France.
Yeah.
And it was like, nobody's ever seen anything like that ever happen in a war. Nobody's ever invaded a country that quick.
No.
That technique and everything's it's just like, and it was pulled off so quick, so smooth. It's basically what they did was just a straight line.
Yeah, straight through.
Just fucking straight in.
Yeah.
And like, they had a supply line, all the tanks, everything. But he was the guy on the front tank, right at the fucking front.
Fucking mental, innit?
Leading it from the front. He basically just fucking... Just follow me, guys.
Yeah.
And then, but he was, what I was saying, I don't know if I was saying to you, but I was saying to someone else. So I read this Rommel book, and what I got from it is like, I don't think he was a Nazi. I don't think he, I think he was like Goering.
Yeah.
But whereas Goering was partying, Rommel was war.
So he's the, like, the, what I was saying then, where we haven't met anyone there who is brutal. Brutality. Yeah,
Rommel's the one
who wants his fucking bloodthirsty. Yeah,
Rommel's like, he would have fought on the British side if he could.
Yeah.
He would have fought on anybody's, as long as he's just in a war leading. He had his leadership skills were like incredible, and the way he like ran the army.
Yeah.
It was like unbelievable. He loved the British as well.
Did he?
In the book, he's always praising the British.
Is it his book?
It's called The Rommel Papers. It's massive as well. It's just all his own words. Right, and he's writing it. Like, because he wrote it while he was there, while he was doing it all.
Like unbelievable to read?
Oh, it's fucking mental. I'd stop reading it sometimes because that much of like, you're like, wow, what the fuck?
Put it down.
Because he's not wrote it like afterwards or anything. He's writing it on the day. He's like, today. Like, it's like a diary. It's been like a diary, like explaining
what he's doing.
But it's wrote as a book. It's not just like fucking.
It's obviously translated as well.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not just like stream of consciousness or whatever. Yeah. We did this, we did that. It was like proper writing.
Storytelling.
Oh, it's just fucking mental. So he did the Blitzkrieg bit at the start, fucking right from the front line, right at the start.
Yeah.
And then he transferred over to North Africa and did all the North African battles, Battle of Alamein and all that.
Yeah.
El Alamein.
They're unbelievable. Them, I like to.
I think we could do a full episode on
we'll save,
on Rommel.
Save Rommel for another one, because I want to hear about the Nazis in North Africa and that, because I was thinking about that before when you were talking about like Antarctica and what they were doing.
The North African battles.
There's all sorts down in North
Africa. Well, the best, obviously we'll cover it, but the best thing was like, because it was the Mussolini and the Italians.
Yeah.
They initially were in charge of North Africa, and it was like Rommel came in to like fix it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it was like the Italians, the British and the Germans, and then you've got this Rommel who loves the British, and he was like praising them all, and like he didn't want to fight. Well, he wanted to fight, but he was like, I wish I could have been on your side.
Yeah.
He was like, after every battle, he was like always writing about like how good the British were and how shit the Italians was and everything.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's definitely one for another one.
Yeah.
How long's that stay?
An hour and 50.
Superb.
Fucking hell.
No.
Oh my God.
Genuinely enjoyed myself. Genuinely. Have you enjoyed it? Well, I know you enjoy it. Sit here looking at your face, but no.
Oh my God. Well, what's your verdict? If you say,
well, we know what our verdict on this podcast is about the Nazis. But their ideas are great, and if you were a Nazi, you'd be made up.
Yeah.
But we cannot sit here and say we support it or it should still be happening or they should have won or anything. But no, there's a reason we still talk about those. There's a reason we still talk about it.
Yeah,
there's a reason you study the Nazis in history, and you never really delve too much into the British, do you? In the wars,
I can't think of anything.
Well, they did fuck all. There's nothing interesting.
Yeah, they were like all right at fighting, as Rommel liked it, because they were
exactly mate.
But they had no like. We've gone like there's loads of other generals that you could talk about. Oh. Like.
You could pick any of them up.
Yeah.
Well,
all chaos.
Full podcast on the scientists.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done two podcasts here on the Nazis.
Yeah.
And both of them have been like chaos ones. And we're not just like further. We're not. Yeah. We're not just doing like covering the history of it.
No.
We're covering like fucking the chaos, the madness of it.
Literally. Unbelievable, mate. Thank you, Steve. A genuine thank you, and thank you to Connor for the globe again.
Oh, that's. I keep looking at it just like, oh, yes.
Really, really, as I've been able to transport myself to Nazi Germany using the globe. Guys, again, follow us, like us. I hope you absolutely adored this episode as much as we did. And we'll be back next week with another great topic.
This was brought to you by Murdley Productions.